It's me, Lily, a frog. I live in a pond, and I love to tell stories. This story is set in ancient Greece, so you need to go back, way back, thousands and thousands more years ago, to where our heroine, Arachne, is stranded on a remote island amidst the sparkling blue waters of the Aegean Sea, where she's been left in the lurch by Theseus, a hero with trembling curls, pouty lips, a sturdy, straight, gleaming sword with which he has recently slain the Minotaur, and a fear of spiders. Left in the lurch means, of course, that you've been abandoned in difficult straits, and difficult straits means, of course, that you find yourself in a situation that is nearly impossible to get out of. Such was the case for the ancient Greek princess Arachne, who thought she was going to the island with the heroic Theseus for a picnic. But she was given a sleeping potion by Theseus instead, because he didn't want to marry her, but he lacked the courage to say so. So instead, when she was fast asleep, Theseus just sailed away back to Athens, so that when Arachne woke up, she was all alone on a rocky island with no boat, just all the fresh seafood she could help herself to from the sea, and her hurt and her anger at being left in this particular lurch by someone she had loved and trusted. She had been treated unfairly. After saving Theseus from the labyrinth, in which he would have surely perished, she expected him to have her back, but instead, this treachery, this betrayal, this dodgy, double-dealing, dirty, duplicitous flim-flam. Oh, she was angry. Her anger was like a baby dragon that had hatched from an egg and was impossible to put back into its shell. Her anger breathed fire all around her and continued to grow. Sometimes it made her thoughts all muddy, but sometimes it made her thoughts sharply focused, as if she was looking through a telescope at something far away. She knew one thing for sure. She wanted revenge. She deserved revenge. She would get revenge. One thing about Arachne that's unusual in a princess, should we say, is her ability to shapeshift from human into arachnid form, meaning she could turn herself into a spider whenever suited her, and then she could turn back into a human again. One thing about arachnids, or spiders, is that wherever you are on this planet, there are probably spiders nearby. Such was the case with Arachne on her island. There was a network of spiders all around her, and switching into spider form, she asked them to pledge allegiance to her cause. Revenge. And they did. They vowed to help her exact her revenge. Revenge would be hers. Here's how. Arachne told the spiders on her island, the rock-dwelling spiders, to tell the water-dwelling sea spiders, to tell the airborne ballooner spiders to catch a lift on a boat that was sailing to Athens. They told the spiders on the boat to tell the spiders on the shore, to tell the cliff-dwelling spiders, to tell the spiders who lived in the grasses, to tell the spiders who lived in the tree branches, to tell the spiders who lived in the city, to tell the spiders who lived in Theseus's castle to spin webs in his sleeping chamber, so that when he awoke, he saw messages written in spider webs backlit by the morning sun around him. "Did you forget about Arachne?" said the first web. Well, when Theseus woke up, he was very unsettled to see this message written in a spider's web in his sleeping chamber. He had, in fact, completely forgotten about Arachne. Well, he'd been busy lately with the Poseidon Games, a celebration of feats of strength and bravery in honor of the god of the sea. "The princess is very angry," said the next web. Theseus began to feel a sort of dread that couldn't be rationally explained seep into him then, because it wasn't rational. It was deeper and more instinctual than that. He felt a creepy crawliness all over from the top of his head to the tips of his toes, and he just wanted to scream. "Arachne wants revenge," said the next web. And that's when Theseus did scream. He screamed and he screamed and he screamed. Well, this was surprising to all his manservants and maids because Theseus was the greatest hero in town. He had slain the Minotaur. This deed had liberated Athens from decades of tyranny. He had slayed Pinus, who killed people using pine trees and who no one else was brave enough to slay. He'd even slain the Cromoian, a boar with bristles so razor sharp and with tusks so massive that Athens would never want for needles and ivory again. He'd slain Procrustes, a cruel monster who lured people into sleeping in an iron bed from which they could not escape. And he slayed Circean, who was cruel to his own daughter and forced strangers to wrestle with him. So why was this hero so afraid suddenly that he was screaming at a few cobwebs? Theseus' servant brushed the spiderwebs away with her broomstick, and she said, "Hush now, hush, everything will be all right. No more cobwebs. See, they're there." Until he stopped screaming. When he was able to stop screaming, but before he quite caught his breath, Theseus fled his bedchambers and ran down to the sea to peer in the direction of the island he'd abandoned Arachne on. Well, he swung his strong, mighty sword about, flashing in the morning light that bounced off the deep blue Aegean waters all around him. "Come and get me then," he hollered into the sea. Spiders dropped down all around Theseus, and they began furiously spinning webs as he shuddered. "No, you come here," said one web. "I don't have a boat, remember?" said the next one. Well, Theseus was angry and embarrassed, and he decided he would do just that. He was, after all, a hero, a man of action. He jumped into a boat, which had been recently fitted with diving boards for the Poseidon Games, and he sailed to the location where he barely remembered leaving Arachne in the lurch. As his boat drew nearer and nearer, he was amazed at what he saw there. Arachne had been busy weaving a palace of silk. Her father was King Minos, but her mother was a famous wool dyer from the province of Lydia, and she had taught her daughter to artfully create any color of silk thread using the natural materials around her. The princess's formal education consisted mostly of weaving and dyeing, and she was terribly talented at it. She'd used her anger to fuel a creative project of epic proportions. It was like a temple of thread. It was a glittering, rainbow-colored masterpiece that beckoned one forth to admire its beauty, its grace, and the skillfulness of its creation. "Welcome," said a tapestry hanging above the doorway. Well, Theseus threw anchor into the sea so that his boat came to a halt. Then he executed a perfect triple twisting somersault dive into the blue waters and he swam to shore. He shook the water out of his trembling curls and he entered the palace of silk. "Two," said another tapestry, all shot through with thread so fine and metallic that it appeared to be woven from gold and silver and diamonds. Theseus went through the corridor it hung above, and he spotted the next tapestry. "My revenge," it read. "Uh-oh," thought Theseus, as a giant sticky spider's web dropped around him, bound him tightly in a bundle, and hoisted him up over the palace of silk, dangling there for all the passing ships to see. Poor Theseus. He still had his jammies on, and he struggled, but the more he struggled, the more tightly he was caught in Arachne's web. He begged for help, he begged for mercy, but Arachne just laughed. How does it feel to be in a lurch? Let this be a lesson to all demigods who toy with helpless princesses, declared Arachne, and she wove above him a banner that proclaimed, "Demigods sure are dumb." Athena, the goddess of wisdom and military victory, caught wind of this insult to the gods as if it was a bad smell, like a fart wafting up from the sea to where she stood on Mount Olympus, surveying her domain, the city of Athens and environs below her. Promptly she flew down to address the insult. "Demigods sure are dumb? Who is responsible for this offense?" demanded Athena. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the goddess Athena, but she is as bronze and muscular as a statue. Her eyes are like bright flames, and her beauty is the kind that stops fleets of ships and drops mortals to their knees. Her intelligence is pure and keen as the burning sun, and her strength is that of 100 ordinary men and 100 extraordinary women. You'd think Arachne would cower before the goddess Athena, but she was so gleeful about her revenge that she wasn't thinking clearly. Instead, she taunted the goddess. "What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen the best weaver in the world outsmart a demigod?" boasted Arachne. "Child," scolded Athena, "you are not the best weaver in the world. That is me. I am the best everything in the world. I am the goddess Athena. You are a very talented weaver, but not more so than I. Now why are you mocking demigods when you are clearly one yourself?" "Who, me?" said Arachne. "I am not. My father was an evil king and my mother a Lydian maiden who became the most famous dyer in Greece." "Oh, demigods never know who their real parents are," sighed Athena. "I'd take some time now to settle the score and prove my skill over yours, but you know what? That would bore me. Instead, I'm going to punish you by turning you into something lowly." "Well, not if you can't catch me," said Arachne, who turned herself into a spider then and scuttled into the rocks with the other spiders so that Athena couldn't tell which was Arachne and which was just an ordinary spider. "Well, you've made that easy for me," said Athena, and she pointed a golden spear at Arachne and all the other spiders, and she said, "You will all stay spiders for the rest of your days, and you'll never be able to turn into a princess again." There was a flash of light, and it was so. "Theseus, what's this mess you've gotten yourself into?" demanded Athena. "It's all her fault," said Theseus, pointing at the spiders, his voice all muffled through the web he was caught in. Next, Athena pointed her golden spear at him, and the web around him unraveled until he was just hanging by one golden thread. "When you're ready to make amends, you will be released from this spell," said Athena, and she flew back to Mount Olympus. Both Theseus and Arachne had a good cry after she left, thinking about all they had lost because of acting so carelessly and selfishly. And then Arachne climbed up the golden thread and she cut it down so that Theseus would be free. "I'm sorry that I laid a cunning trap to exact my revenge upon you," said Arachne. "Well, I'm sorry that I left you in the lurch," said Theseus. And he found that, oddly, he wasn't afraid of spiders anymore. He was cured of his arachnophobia. "Would you like to come back to Athens with me now?" he asked. "I know that's all you wanted in the first place." "Yes," said Arachne, "but you know, I've had a lot of time to think about our marriage, and I don't think we're a good fit for each other." "Okay," said Theseus, "let's just be friends." And then he lifted the tiny spider onto his golden headband, and she clung to it as he swam back through the Aegean waters to his ship. And she told him, "You know, I like being a spider better than being a princess anyway." And they climbed back up into the hull to sail into the ancient Greek sunset, Arachne full of excitement at finally traveling to the famous city of Athens, and Theseus having slain no monsters on his journey, but still, somehow, more of a hero than ever before.